Hebrews chapter 12, a runner in the Christian race is the theme tonight. This is lesson 5 on salt and light. And we'll have a bit of a break from this series for actually the next 3 weeks. We won't be going. But as I've heard many people say, preachers say, don't let a familiar text just blow right past you, because God's word is alive, which means the last time you read Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 doesn't mean you get something out of time. And so I'm thankful for repetition of the runner and Christian race. Therefore, seeing we also are compassionate. Sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So everyone here tonight, you have a race set before you. Rising shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, when we think about the Christian life, the kind of race I think we're talking about is not a fast one, right? It's not a 100-meter dash or sprint. It's a marathon. And in case you were wondering, a marathon is 42.195 kilometers. All right? So after church tonight, we're going to begin training. Brother Allen is leading us. Maybe not. Anyway. That's a long way. I know Brother Jeff Bug is into marathons right now, so you can talk to him. That's what really we're talking about here. By the way, it's 49 kilometers to Alder Grove. Almost to Alder Grove. That's a pretty good height. And so I don't think you're going to say, I think we're going to just run as fast as we can at top speed. We're not going to make it to Alder Grove. We might not even make it to the Portman Bridge. But anyway, the Christian life is that. It is a race. So several things in the outline tonight. Number one, it's first thing is why to run? Why are we doing this? Why to run? In other words, what is the motivation behind this race, the Christian life? Letter A, firstly, it is because of the witness of other heroic runners. That's what Hebrews 12, 1 says. Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. They are previous runners. They are previous marathon runners. And they are in heaven today. And if you go to Hebrews 11, that one page, or maybe it's right there on the same page in your Bible, not named, which encompasses a whole lot of people, right? But there's one thing in common. They all ran their race, and it's two words, by faith. By faith. And well, nothing's changed from the days of the Bible. Nothing's changed from the days of the first century church, or it shouldn't anyway. And that's how we're God would have us to run our race, because we cannot please God apart from faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So I'm thankful that that's something that all of us can do, because this faith is not even of ourselves. This faith is given to us by God. It's a gift. And I'm thankful that God has given me faith and even you faith. And remember, faith, if it's going to grow, it's got to be exercised. And so I think we talked about that some time ago. But here we have all of these different people, and we won't read down through all of it, but we have the common denominator of faith. So firstly, it's because there are others that have raced before us. The Christian life, the Christian race, is not necessarily by people with special talent, but it's run by people like you and me who keep our eyes on the one who is all-powerful, almighty, who's never failed. Great is his faithfulness. We just sang that earlier tonight. And so this is what helps us in the Christian race. Faith in an extraordinary God. We are ordinary. He is extraordinary. I don't need to be extraordinary. I don't need to be, because God already is. And so I want to keep my faith and trust in him. Hudson Taylor, maybe you've heard that name. He's a missionary in China from England. And for over 50 years, he was a missionary. Think about that. 5 decades plus, a missionary. And he said this about the Christian life, the Christian race. He said that God is not looking for men of great faith, only some common souls like you or me, willing to trust in his great faithfulness. Because his great faithfulness will never fail. It will always be there for us. It will always be there for you, and it will always be there for me. I'm thankful to be a part of God's family. So as we run our race, God is working in our life. God is molding us and making us, and he's preparing us for this race, as Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says, that is set before us. The end of verse 1, set before us. And so we're on this race. Why do this race? Because of those who have gone on before us. That's one reason why. But also, as we run our race, we are encouraging others along the way. While you're running and while I'm running, there are people that are watching us in our race. I'm watching you. You're watching me. Now, our eyes are on the Lord, but we also are admonishing and encouraging one another. That's one of the reasons we come to church. It says that we are to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but we're supposed to be exhorting one another. Okay? When we're healthy and we can be in the house of the Lord, one of the reasons we come is because there's other runners that are coming that night too. There's other runners that are coming on Sunday. There's other runners. And you know, some of them might be limping in here. I'm not talking about physically. Some of us do that every time, okay? But some of us are limping in emotionally. And so there's going to be a time when somebody's limped into church emotionally or spiritually or whatever, and you're a little bit stronger that service, and so you're coming, and so you're exhorting them, you're encouraging them, and the next time the shoe will be on your foot, and they're going to encourage you. So that's part of the reason why we have to continue to run. It's because there's other runners in the race that need us to encourage them. So that's letter A. Letter B, we're running to win a prize. That's what runners run for, you know, to finish for the prize. Athletes are motivated by winning. Let's just, you know, be honest. I mean, that's why we play a game. If you play a game just to play the game, I'm sorry, that is not my philosophy in life. If I'm playing a game, I'm doing everything I can within the rules, most of the time, to win. You know, I want to win the game. Well, that's why we're running the race. We're running the race for the prize. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Apostle Paul, of course, wrote this epistle. And he writes in verse number 24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? But one receiveth the prize." And then he says, "So run." I underline those two words in my Bible. "So run, that ye may," what's the last word? "Obtain." Remember the crowns that Pastor Yassin taught us about a few weeks ago. So everybody has a chance to earn crowns. So in the race, yes, there's only one first place. But I'm so glad in the Christian race, we're all striving for this goal to win something to honor the Lord with. And then he says in verse 25, And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. There they are. But we an incorruptible. I wrote down right beside that word incorruptible, motivation. Motivation, right? That's our motivation. We're striving for the goal. We're striving for the prize. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one, Verse 25, thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. And then he goes through in verses 26 through 27 and 28. He lists a whole lot of other things that went wrong. We would say went wrong in his life, and challenges and perils by his countrymen and his uncountrymen. And beside, he said, beside that, the care of all the churches. I mean, what a list in the Apostle Paul's life. Then why did Paul continue? Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Why keep running for the prize? God is always the goal, amen? God is always the goal. But God has put things in his word that we can strive for. As we're striving for God, he is providing us things along the way that make it well worth our continuing in spite of great challenges. Paul kept his eyes on the prize ahead. He said his prize was the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What a testimony. Hungry, cold, lonely, burdened, dangerous, peril sometimes. The prize motivated Paul. There's no way you're going to go through the Christian race and never want to quit. It will happen. It will happen to all of us. It will happen more than once. When the enemy will be right next to us and he'll be feeding us a bunch of lies because he's the father of it. John 8:44. And we will want to throw in the towel and we'll say, this is it, I'm done. So it's going to happen. But remember, when those times happen, a lot of things I think we need to do, but one thing we need to do when those times come is we need to maybe open up the gospel, one of the gospel records, and read the crucifixion story. It's not a story, you know what I'm saying, right? Read the event. When you read about how Jesus Christ was crucified, and his beard plucked out, crown of thorns on his head, mocked, spit upon, beat with fists, and then we think, well, I'm going to quit because of, you know, somebody said something bad about me, or you know, this and that and the other thing. And I know there's a lot of things that we carry or that come into our life, but nothing is of greater motivation than to say, I want to finish whatever race is set before me. I want to finish it for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. God is worthy. Even Jesus was strengthened while he was on the cross. And tonight, when we come to that place of wanting to quit, and why are we doing this? Hebrews 12:2, what we read earlier, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then it says, who for the joy that was set before him. Remember, there's a race set before him. What was set before him? The cross. And he says, for the joy that was set before him. Think of that. The joy of the cross. Endured the cross, despising the shame. So why run? We listed those. Number two, how to run. How to run. Running is an intense sport that requires diligent discipline and thorough training. You're not going to get up the morning of the race and say, okay, I'm here, and expect to, you know, do much of anything except run out of gas quickly. So we have some instructions on running our Christian race, and I pray that we would follow these directions by the Lord. Another A, run with all you have. Run with all you have. In other words, be in, all in, all into the Christian life. Half-hearted effort will not win the competition of any race. Runners must give concentrated focus and effort to improvement. Jim Elliot, they just, the anniversary of the five men, I think it was, that were killed there in Ecuador. Speaking of Ecuador, we're going to highlight the Morrises next Wednesday, and they are going to be with us this June. They're missionaries there in Ecuador. But Jim Elliot was a missionary who was martyred while serving the Aka Indians and trying to reach them for Christ. He was 28 years old, and he said this, wherever you are, when he died, he was 28, wherever you are, be all there. He said, live to the hilt every situation you believe to be the will of God. If this is the will of God, why play only half speed? Why only give half effort? That doesn't mean we can't slow down in our physically sometimes. I'm saying, but when we know this is the will of God, why would we only give God half? Paul wrote this, Colossians 3.23. Colossians 3.23. Would somebody look that up and read it for me? Colossians 3.23. If you have it. One more time, Brother Allen.
Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, ask to the Lord, and not unto
you. Yeah, do it what? Heartily. That means put your whole heart into it, and it isn't for the pastor. It's not for the deacons. It's not for the Sunday school teacher. It's not because somebody's watching. It's this in this way. It's for the Lord. Do it heartily as unto the Lord. And so, boy, I tell you, I remember when I was playing basketball in high school, not everybody on the team gave it their all. And I'm not saying I did all the time, but there were always guys in practice that were goofing around. If there was somebody that made me boil, it was the guys that were goofing around in practice, because I didn't come to practice to goof around, because the way you practice is going to be revealed in the game. And every once in a while, as I got a little bit older, when you're a ninth grader, you can't really say anything to the guys that are in grade 11 that are goofing around. And they were. There was always guys goofing around. That's fine, whatever, but I'm not there to goof around. And so as we think about the athletics, you know, let's not bring that spirit of goofing around into the Christian life. Let's approach the Christian life giving ourselves all that we have. In other words, why would we hold back on a God who loves us and has given us all things richly to enjoy? Why would we hold back? God didn't hold back. God gave us his best. Letter B, run with all you have. Letter A, run with all you have. Letter B, run within the rules. Run within the rules. There are codes for running a race, including qualifications to enter races in some cases. There's instructions for running the Christian life. Go over to John 3:36. John 3:36. Only one way you can get in the Christian race is what it says in John 3:36. Somebody want to read that one for me? That's right. We got it. We got it. So this is how we, thank you, both of you, this is how we enter the race. We enter the race through Christ. It's called the Christian race, right? So you can't be in the race without being saved. So this is what we say, running within the rules. God gives us his grace while we're in the race, and his power to obey and follow him. And again, we're not running in our own power, in our own strength. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God is working in you. God is working in me to finish the race, to be on course for God, to navigate. All of us have a different race, but we have a race. We must run within the rules. We must run with all we have. Letter C, we must run without weights. Without weights. A marathon runner does not wear a winter coat, heavy boots, and a backpack filled with snacks for on the way. Or else, again, he or she aren't going to be very successful. In and of themselves, a backpack is not a bad thing, but it is if you're running a race. Boots are not a bad thing. I could have used some boots last week in Montana in that snow. But to run a race, boots are no good. So these are not in and of themselves bad things, but they're weights. So think about your own life right now for a moment. What is there that could be in your life that's not necessarily bad, but it's a weight? And it's keeping you from running the race effectively, efficiently for the Lord. We read it earlier. We're supposed to lay aside every weight. Hebrews 12:1. Possibly we have the weight of a hobby. Hobbies aren't bad, but if they're a weight keeping us from running the race properly, then we got to really ask the Lord. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's technology. None of these things are in and of themselves sinful, but they can be weights. And so we want to lay aside the weights. Again, what I wrote this down. What is restricting you from running your race properly? Or who is restricting you from running your race properly? Paul chose to set aside anything that would restrict him from pressing forward. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. We quoted verse 14 a minute ago. We've got to get rid of the weights. 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. We could say that he's getting rid of the weights, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So what are there any weights? You don't have to answer this aloud, but are there any weights in your life that need to be removed from your life? Then letter D, we must run with patience. That may not sound like it rhymes, right? Run with patience. As we consider this thought of patience, as it says it in our text, run with patience the race that is set for us. Winning a race requires intensity of running and determination of patience. This kind of patience is more like, even when I'm painful, I'm going to keep running. Even when things are challenging me, I'm going to keep running. And again, I can do all things through Christ. Philippians 4:13, which strengtheneth me. So I'm not running like, you know, the little train engine that could. We need God to get us up that hill in the part of the marathon that maybe you're in tonight. But patience is saying that I'm going to endure until the finish line. I'm going to keep going. Sometimes these difficulties are challenging us to exit the race. You know, far greater Christians than any of us here tonight have exited their race. What do you mean? They just quit. That's it. It's too hard. Something got in the way of running the race, and they didn't have the patience to endure. This isn't about pointing at people. This is about the mirror of God's word, like we talked about on Sunday. So we've got to be patient in this race. That yes, physically speaking, we might not be able to run as fast as we used to, but we're patiently enduring one step in front of the other. You know, the tortoise, he beat the hare. My favorite book now of all time, The Tortoise Beat the Hare. I need to get a copy of that book. Why? Because the tortoise just kept going. The hare had all kinds of stuff he was, you know, playing around. If you've never read that book, you got to read that book. You know, come on. I mean, it's not inspired scripture, but it is, you know, it's a pretty good book. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, Google it and find it, okay? I used to hate that the hare lost because, man, I'm like, man, that rabbit, he should be running faster than a turtle. Now I'm like, hey, I love that turtle guy. He's pretty cool. That's right. He had patience. He just kept on going. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Verse 36, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Ye have need of patience. I think this is also what helps is when we have patience, we become more mature spiritually. Remember James, we just covered this, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That's what we're talking about here, endurance. It's endurance running. Marathons need endurance. That 100-meter dash, I mean, I guess they need a little bit of endurance, but it's more like just you know, all out, and it's over, it's done. James 5:11, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. This is the kind of patience we're talking about. It's not, oh, I'm patient. I don't care if they're an hour late. That's not that kind of patience. Job, I don't know how to tell you this, but your children were having a meal together and the roof caved in on them and they're all dead. I don't know how to tell you this, but all of your cattle, they just got wiped out. This freak storm just came up. They're all gone. One by one, Job said, the Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Job endured the patience of Job. Have seen the end of the Lord, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. We have a caring God. Why run? How to run? And then letter number three, where to run? Where to run? As Christians, we must be careful that we run the race Christ has set before us. Not the one you want to run or I want to run. A lot of times we come in and we like, even in church, we might say, I want to run Peter's race. It looks cool. And Peter might say, you don't want to run my race. I want to run your race. We're all wanting to share. No. We got to run the race Christ has set before us. Because you are equipped by God, even in a challenging time, to run the right race. Very important. Letter A, run to Christ. This is the proper place to run. Run to Christ. Mark 5:6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Mark 6:33, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. Jesus always had the answer for those who came to him, and it has not changed in 2026. Run to Christ. Letter B, run to the finish line. Runners have one goal in mind, as we said earlier, the finish line. Fatigue, pain, heat, exhaustion. I've got to get to the finish line. Paul said it this way. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. My course, he said. So again, it's the race set before you. It's the race set before me. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. There's another prize, right? Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. 1968 Olympics were held in Mexico City. A runner from Tanzania was there by the name of John Stephen Akwari. And he gave some amazing resilience to cross the finish line. He fell during the race. He cut himself and dislocated his knee. Now, I've never dislocated a knee, but I can't imagine doing any other movement after dislocating a knee. But he didn't quit. Spectators expected to see him step to the sidelines and watch everyone else, but he stood up and continued down the track. Other runners, of course, passing by him with ease. He would not win the race by any stretch of the imagination. When John struggled along the track, the story says that he was in so much pain he had to grit his teeth. Somebody won the race, then second, then third. An hour later, John finished the race. An hour later. Somebody asked him the question, the reporter, what made you continue when you knew you would never win? He said this, my country did not send me to Mexico City to start the race. They sent me to finish. This is not our country, folks. You might bleed red and white, you know, as a Canadian. We might bleed red and white. This is not our country. We are from another country. And our country is not up there looking down on us, thankful that we started the race. I mean, that's important, but that's not the end of it, is finishing. Hearing those words, well done. Now, good and faithful servant, right? Serve. One life, one choice. Serve Christ. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Unfortunately, along the way, many Christians were great starters, but now they're on the sidelines. We need to pray for the ones that are on the sidelines, that they come back into the race. I'm thankful God never gives up on anyone. Whatever the reason, they're not finishing as they should. I want to challenge you tonight. You might be in church, even here, but you might still be on the sideline. Finish strong for the glory of God. Galatians 6:9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. God is worthy. Paul endured many, many wounds along the way, but he said this in Acts 20:24, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. I think that's the problem many times. Our lives are too dear to us. And that's why we go on the sideline for whatever reason. Because we're thinking more about temporal than the eternal. And I'm as guilty as anyone. But he said, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with what? Joy. Not finish it pouting, but finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Well, I tell you what, I know that all of us in here know what it's like to be weary and well-doing. But I claim that verse again tonight for my own life. I hope you'll claim it as well. Be not weary in well-doing. Finish your course with joy. Don't count your life dear unto yourself. Thank God for the race that he has set before you. And then when that race gets really challenging and we're ready to just sit on the sidelines, look at Calvary and realize he endured the cross, which was his race. He despised the shame. And now he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God, waiting for his heavenly Father to say, go. And I'm waiting for him to say that too. Go get my bride. And I want to be in the race. If I'm not dead physically, I want to be in the race when the trumpet sounds right behind the dead in Christ. I want to be in the race. Thank God that he saved us and put us in this race so we can live a life to glorify him. We're not perfect. He knows that. But thank God for his faithfulness in our life. We can finish our race, our course with joy. Heavenly